What is up, people? Welcome to another episode of Real Talk. I'm Devin Readers. This is a podcast where we talk about all things inclusion and a little bit of nonsense. If you like this podcast and like what we're doing, please subscribe wherever you listen and write a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. It really helps folks find us. Also, if you would like to become a supporter of this podcast, you can use the link in the show notes. Thanks, guys. Let's get to the episode. Hello, welcome to another Survivor recap. We are here to recap episode 10 of Survivor Edge of Extinction. And back with me today, after 2 weeks, I think, is John, how are you today?
I am good, but just you know, I am not a pilot or passenger. I am not even a poop. I am just one of your, you know, stewardess in this flight, at this podcast.
That's you want to be a flight attendant, John. You don't want to be any of those other things.
I just don't want to avoid the drama right now. Yeah. Especially when, yeah, so really, I mean, really, what a week, I guess.
Yeah, what an episode. And for disclosure, I have 3 pages of notes from goldberry.com. They do minute-by-minute recaps, so I will be using those to help me.
Right. I mean, we're just going to be talking mostly about these two titles because it is something shocking.
Yes. But first, let's start with War Dog after the episode 9 tribal, and he wants to build a new path of 6. With Julie, Gavin, Ron. What did you think of that?
Something good, I guess, but I really confused. Like, okay, I thought David and Devin were working also with them, but like what? This is something I did not see coming. Like, they were working together, like. These couple of tribals, but I don't think they'll target each other. It's like, oh my god, what happened?
Yes. I thought it was, we'll get more into War Dog later, but I think War Dog's a little power hungry, but I also think he's a great strategist, so.
I don't know about you right now.
You don't know about.
It's really to be determined because I don't know, people are already saying, oh, this is the new Tony, like, come on, like, this is really a steroid version of Joe Manna.
No, I don't see, like, a Tony in him from what I've heard about Tony. Like, I didn't really watch the season, but from what I've heard about Tony, I don't see Tony in him. I think he's just War Dog.
Well, right now, we all think really little like Tony, even though I don't think he is Tony.
No, I don't think he's Tony, even though there's been a lot of comparisons made.
But yeah, he has been these two tribal this week, it's like, he's mostly running everything, and I don't know how he isn't noticeable, except really, David and Devins were the only ones that just noticed.
Yeah, how are people not noticing that he's running everything?
I don't know. I mean, he also talked about, you know, him and the last two, three are just, you know, together boating, and, like, they've been boating since the beginning. And, like, it's like, okay, but I don't know how they didn't. Especially, I don't know how the Kama does not notice now. Maybe because Kama is so divided or so broken, so dysfunctional after last tribal where. It was really Julie just, you know, she was just a hot mess.
Yeah, Julie, I think it's because Kama's so dysfunctional. That's a good point that they can't even see, that they can't even come together to see that they're all being eventually going to get rooted out by War Dog. But,
I think, yeah, and can we at least blame this when Ron decides to go for Joseph Wentworth or David, but really, Ron, really, I don't know how he thought he can just run the show when, after what happened, it's like, you know, I don't know anybody is, like, anybody at this point is really just power hungry. It's like the new dictator, the new boss. Like, you know, they run the show. Like, it's different every week.
Yeah, it's so as Rob Cesternino said, it's so unpredictable this season that it's kind of too, like, for podcast, for the viewer, it's great. But from a podcasting perspective, it's so hard to do because you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, seriously?
Well, you don't know. You don't even know what's going on. Which I love the season because it's so, really, you don't know who's going to win. You don't know what.
Oh, yeah. I love the season as a viewer, but as a podcaster, it's been one of the harder seasons. But I love it as a viewer, so.
You gotta, yeah, just go with it because really, I don't think you can get any other seasons or any other so far that it's like, you know, I don't know what's going on because really, like, Reaching Ghost Island, it was just like, oh, Dummy Mendel, and then that's it. But I think because really, Ghost Island was really something like, this is what came out because, like, oh, they saw Laurel, you know, being the goat and, you know, being dragged along and, like, not making moves, so, like, this is what they want to do, like, make moves, I guess, and, like, they don't want to end up being in the Laurel spot.
Yes, and I love Laurel. She's a, we haven't met in person or talked or anything, but she's a Facebook friend of mine, and we've messaged back and forth, and she is just the sweetest person, but I think it that does have a lot to do with it, because, well, season 37 was airing, season 38 was filming, so the last season that they saw in its entirety was 36, and they saw Laurel, like, not wanting to make a move, and them always coming up one vote short, the people that wanted to get out down in the window because of Laurel, and so, and again, I love her, and so I think that is why these new castaways are, like, so power hungry, like, I gotta make a move, because I don't want to be, you know, the person that gets dragged along, so.
I think power hungry is the word I can think of right now, but it's like because the game is so different because when we saw 36, it's like, you know, they don't want, you know, just another, you know, pagonging or any of that, you know, just one tribe from the original beginning. It's like just getting faded out and like they don't want that. Like, and like also about this resume talk, it's like, like, I think anybody can have a resume, really, with just one setting or one notice.
Yeah, like, you,
one achievement.
Like, you can win. The great thing about Survivor is that you don't have to be the most physical to win it. You can win it with just one really, really smart strategy move, and if you make a convincing case at Final Tribal. So, I think, yeah, the resume is a little premature, but...
Yeah, when they decide to go for Joe, comma, really, they, especially Ron, he's the one that caused all this, like, thinking, like, you know, he can do what he wants, like, you know, people, you know, it's like, you know, people will bow to him and, like, and everything, like, he thinks he's running the show, but then, after what happened with Eric, and then this is... It all went down, and like they should have gone for Wentworth in that beginning.
Yes, well, no, I don't think they should have because Wentworth is a beast at sniffing out blindsides. She's a beast strategist. So if it was in the beginning, she would have been expecting it, and she would have sniffed it out. Whereas at this point, when you've got so many other possible targets, she is less likely, as we saw, because she went to the edge with an idol in her pocket, to sniff it out. And so I think it was personally the right time to get out Wentworth, but we'll get more into that later.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, they could just done early, and then, you know, that really... The Lasso could have been more of a free agent, and then, like, who knows what could have happened more. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, if they're just going to keep picking on Lasso, and, like, if everybody is all comma right now, like, what's the point? It's like nobody is, you know, this season's not even going to be the best.
Yeah, I think this is a very good season.
It's a good season because, really, you have unpredictable boots, and then, like, the, like, oh my god, two tribals where people stand up and really whispering.
Yeah, I like the whispering at tribal. I personally like it. I think it makes the season, like, exciting, so...
And really exciting because of, really, we keep hearing new analogies. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, they've been talking about being the shark or minnow, and then Devin's being the poop.
Yes.
So, and really, pilot or passenger. I think this is what the season is really about. Are you pilot or passenger?
Yes. This season should be called Survivor Pilot or Passenger.
Pilot versus passengers.
Yes, pilots versus passengers. Yes, that would.
Yeah. Oh, don't someone make a brand steal in the offseason, please.
Yes. Oh, please, someone. Rob, we're calling on you. Make a brand steal.
Yeah, but we all know, like, what Terry Deeds is a pilot tribe, and T-Bird is on the passenger, I guess. Although she's a flight attendant, so.
Yeah.
Pilots versus. Passengers versus
flight
attendants. There we go.
Okay, so...
Can we talk about Wentworth? Are we talking Wentworth now?
Okay, we can talk Wentworth.
I mean, this is the only thing we can talk about in these two episodes, because, like, we didn't get much of Light Tribal or... I mean, Camp Life or anything about extinction.
So, was it a good move to take out Wentworth? Yes or no?
Yes. It. I don't know because I'm debating because, like, no, War Dog is, like, really, like, he... I don't know why going after Wentworth this early because, I don't know. It's, like, it's really... War Dog is, like, you know, I can take the heat from anybody.
Yeah, I think it was a good move to get out Wentworth because, as I said earlier,
Well, my thing is, though, like, I think it's not a good move right now because, really, you have, what, Julie still wanting to target Aurora, these couple of tribals, and now he's really, like, Julie is gonna be so furious.
Yes, and... Speaking of, there was a point in the episode where Aurora gave Ron the extra vote, and Ron contemplated swinging the other way and voting Aurora out instead of Wentworth. Do you think he should have voted Aurora out or no?
I don't know why. I'm just... assuming, like, oh, after Aurora did that, like, she is gone, because I think Ron's gonna find, because really, I think Ron's gonna do, like, what share in Game Changers, like.
Yeah, but in my...
That was my thing, it's like...
In my opinion, Julie, and I'm sure she's a great person, is kind of wishy-washy, so you have a guaranteed ally, almost, in Aurora, because... she gave you the extra vote, whereas Kelly is a huge, huge, huge strategic threat. So if you don't get Kelly out when she's not fully expecting it, then you're not going to get her out because she's an expert at sniffing out when they're voting for her. So I think it was
Yes, it's the right move, but how you can, when you get back, how you can control it if someone, like, okay, like, Ron has to deal now with Julie, who's gonna be so pissed, like, you know, like, I don't know, Julie is really just holding, really, this, you know, I hate Aurora, you know, vendetta.
Yeah, but, I mean, what's Julie
gonna... How can you control her?
What's Joey gonna do? Go back to Kama, who she's even more pissed at? I mean, she already feels on the bottom with Kama. So it's either go back to Kama and go home, or stick with Ron and have a fighting champ. I think she's gonna stick with Ron.
Well, how's he gonna do that when, like, Ron... When, really, Julie is really gonna say, like, to Ron, like, why didn't you go with me? Why didn't you go with us? Like, oh my god, like, come on, like, we could've gotten Aurora out, like, you know, we could've easily won these challenges, but, like, oh my god, like, she is, like, I don't know, because, really, I can't really tell because of, like, is Julie just really has something with Aurora, like, that she just wants right away, like, she doesn't care if, like, she thinks, like, oh, we can get one more out later.
Yeah, I wonder what we're not seeing in the show that's causing the beef.
Well, yeah, when you have a lot going on these days, because, like, you know, well, you have a lot going on this season, so really, you can't. Remember, it's a 3-day episode packed into just 42 minutes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this is. But I think it's really War Dog's, you know, downfall at this point. Because you have, what, Julie mad, and then you have Gavin and Lauren coming back also from camp, like, you know, yelling at War Dog, like, why? Like, you know, like, Lauren's gonna feel betrayed.
Yeah, but I really think that he'll be okay, because I think he's got two allies in Aurora and Julie, and...
Can Lauren find a way to get them? Well, I guess they're still together, but Ron is really the person, like, you know, can you swing him back, or can you... Like, it's really so unpredictable.
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out. But I do want to talk about the David boot for just a minute.
Okay, I thought we already did. Okay.
Well, oh, did we already?
Well, we talked about, like, you know, why Devin's really, you know, like, I guess really David was more of a target, but I guess really War Dog was really, I don't know, because, like, these people are going against each other now. Like, but that's confusing me. Like, why? How, like, I thought they were all working together, but...
Yeah.
Nope. Because, really, Julie... Really, after that epic tribals, like... The only thing I was seeing that below is, what, Aurora, Victoria, Devins, and David for all the people.
Yeah, and, Do you think David Wright could have done anything differently to sway it to off of him and onto Aurora? Or onto War Dog, sorry. Sorry, onto War Dog.
I don't know if he could have done more anything, but I think what... I mean, yes, the idol thing, but he'd rather play it than, you know, go home with it.
Yeah. And I think it was smart of him to play the idol last time, even though it didn't work out ultimately at the...
The best thing is, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about that, but... I am just like, you know, why... I mean, David has a point. I mean, War Dog is a little bit already just, you know, just running like who, you know, who went for him. Like, I don't know why, how nobody sees that.
Yeah, and I don't think that David could have done anything differently.
I mean, nothing else. I mean, could have won immunity, but that's... I mean, if nothing else, I mean, I don't know what else I can think of. But if you can't really convince, really, the everyone else just to come, like, what, Ron and Julia? Who really are the swing boss of this episode.
Yeah. What do you think, this was brought up on our app, and I think it's an interesting question. Will Ron be able to be that swing vote for too long before somebody wants him out?
I don't think it's gonna last that long, but I think because of really Julia's gonna with once he they come back, like Julia's gonna be so upset around, like, you know, like she's done with him.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're supposed to be both together, but you betrayed me. And I don't know if Ron can find a way, especially that Ron really has, you know, Aurora's secret advantage.
Yeah.
I guess it's his though now.
I disagree with you, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
But yeah, I'm just like, you know, we can all say like, yeah, this season is so unpredictable. So
yeah.
Like that's the only thing I think of, because yeah, I mean, yeah, we're all low beginning, but this is actually, you know, a season like, you know, so much craziness.
Yes, this would not be the season to introduce to a viewer that's brand new to Survivor or hasn't watched since the early seasons, because there's so much strategy going on that it's hard to, like I study it for fun, and I pride myself on being pretty good at it, like predicting it, but yeah, I can't even predict it.
Like every week, like, you know, we thought this person's gonna go, but no, somebody else for some reason, like, you know, especially the edit, not even helping.
Yeah, but I kind of like the editing. I kind of like that they're keeping us guessing, and I kind of like
I wish they tell us more about how War Dog and David suddenly became, you know, enemies.
Yeah. Alright, so if you don't have anything else to add, John, we can start with our 3-2-1s.
Okay. I mean, are we also going to do Amazing Race, or we can do that after?
I have to study, so I don't really have time to do a podcast about Amazing Race right now.
No, we're not going to. We'll just do a quick one. No, it's okay, but I mean, just my own take. Like, really. Like, what's your thing on the Mountain of Pizza?
I wish Butt LaBelle was on this podcast right now. That's all I could say about that.
No, I just wish that Jeff didn't make it a thing. Like, stop with the pizza. We all hear how bad it is. So, come on. Like, don't tell Stella, like, a Mountain of Pizza.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know.
That's still terrible, even though it's stacking down.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, come on, somebody get a different caterer.
I know, right? Like, I love you, Jeff, but survivors that have been starving for 30-something days are saying the pizza's bad. Like, please get new pizza, at least. So...
Yeah, and one more thing, like, okay, the David thing when he was on Extinction and found that extra advantage for the immunity challenge to give somebody, like, a little bold people, he said he was going to give it to somebody, like, you know, to make trust with if he comes back, and suddenly we, like, why Devin's?
Well, he needs his ally to still be in his corner when he gets back in, if he gets back in, so I thought it was a smart move.
But I thought he was gonna do something else because, like, David's, like, you know, he's trying to be all strategic, like he's trying to make more allies, and really, Devin isn't the only person that he can, like, you know, rely on, because who else he has? Like, it's just those two right now.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, but that's, I guess, really, what an episode, I guess.
Yeah,
even though the group was so, you know, like, I was mostly, like, in shock, man, at the live show.
Yeah, that live show must have been amazing with that episode. Okay, what is our 3-2-1 of the week?
Okay, third star for me. Maybe I'll just go right now. Let's see. Maybe I'll say Devin's.
I'll give my third star to I'll give my third star to David because he tried his damnedest to foot the vote.
Yeah, David is your Dancy Dawn. So who's your second?
Second is probably probably Ron, because I think he made the good move in voting out Wentworth.
Maybe I'll just, my second, I think I'll just, for a gussy thing, maybe I'll just go with Aurora.
Okay, and I will go with Rick.
My number one.
Oh, your number one, sorry.
Oh yeah, well, my thing with Aurora is like, no, she was risky just to get that advantage and reveal it.
Yeah.
So my number one?
Yes.
I'll say War Dog.
I will say Rick Devins because he continuously performs well, performs phenomenally at Tribal Council, and he won the immunity when he felt like he needed to. And
he had the advantage, so that's the thing. And then,
yes.
I don't know, like, but War Dog really talk about, you know, the, I don't know if it's Ron or War Dog, but it's talking about the smell of the blind side, like, you know, they want the blood.
Yes.
Like, which is a little bit more dark, but I'll take it.
Yes. Okay, so I guess we'll end it here. Follow me on Twitter at Devin Real Talk and Instagram at Real Talk Podcast Official. Follow John John on Twitter and Instagram at John John Rules. And we will see you next week. Bye, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening today. You can visit us online at realtalkpodcastonline.wordpress.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Devin Real Talk and on Instagram at Real Talk Podcast Official. You can also email us at devinewieters, W-I-E-T-E-R-S, @gmail.com. Thank you guys.